This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Welcome to episode 6 of BookCareers.com Live. This week I'm going to discuss the salary question. Salaries. It is one of my most frequent client questions. What should I be paid? Am I being paid the right amount? Isn't publishing pay poor? Or insert relevant expletive here. I used to get into a discussion with CEOs or directors, and they told me how much they hated the BookCareers salary survey. I recall one human resources manager telling me she hated the survey so much because as soon as the figures were released, the CEO was on the phone wanting to know how the company compared. It might be unrealistic to be talking about salaries in difficult trading times, but let's face it, salaries in publishing have never been great. But I wonder if the bosses at the top know, or perhaps remember, what being chronically underpaid does to someone. There was a time in one of my publishing jobs where I had seen my salary rise by £250 a year, yet my council tax had risen by £15 a month, my travel expenses by £8 a month, and other general cost of living expenses had also risen. Yet I was expected to carry on in my job as motivated as I was previously because these costs were not in my employer's control and because I wanted to remain in publishing. By this time in my career, I'd been working for over 7 years and was still earning far less than the national average wage. Are your publishing employees meant to be living on the breadline? 16 years ago, I had the privilege once of covering a temporary role outside of publishing, where I discovered the receptionists were paid £25,000 for working set hours. 16 years on, £25,000 is still several thousands of pounds more than the average entry-level salary for today's young publishers. I have friends with lesser qualifications doing manual jobs getting paid twice the salaries of some of the first-class graduates employed as managers within book publishing. Then there's a time when you change companies and you have it in writing they will review your salary when you finish your probation period and you sign on the dotted line as you've been told it will be a substantial review, only for a salary freeze to be put in place across the whole company, and that included all reviews, including your probation review. I can understand for the employees who sit clock watching all day, doing the 9-to-5, the minimum that is expected of them. Well, that is what they're paid for, they will say, but the majority of publishing employees have always given over and above the call of duty. If the salaries got dramatically better as you rose the ranks, then you wouldn't feel you were suffering too much. But on today's figures, you start your career on somewhere between 20 and 23,000 and work your way up to your dream job. After many years of working evenings and weekends or taking work home, always having to do that little bit more to meet that deadline or to find out that little extra bit to make you look good for the promotion ladder or your next career appointment. The average salary that is waiting for you at the end of the rainbow as a commissioning editor is around £32,000. The thing about salary is that it isn't only about money. It's about your overall quality of life. It is about the things that you can or can't do, the films you can or can't see when they're first released, the places or restaurants that you can or can't eat at, the shops or clothes you wear, the holidays that you take. We all know the moan that you'll never be able to afford a mortgage on a publishing salary, but it isn't only about that. It might not seem much for 1 or 2 years at the beginning of your career, but after 5 or even 7 years, it takes its toll. It is what I call the dinner party syndrome of sitting down with your peers and hearing them talk about going to Paris last weekend, Rome next month, their summer or skiing holiday, and understanding that you work more hours than them, you probably work harder than them, but you also take home less pay because you chose or fell into publishing. I love publishing. I love the industry. I have since the end of my first week at André Deutsch back in 1983, but at times I'm ashamed of a few employers within the industry. I might find out what they've been up to through my career's work with clients or through my own personal experiences of how shabbily a few publishers behave when it comes to salary. I'm talking about the companies who renege on salary increments, on commission deals, or companies who do not help employees who fall genuinely ill, or even worse, forget to pay staff on time. I'm ashamed at times to say that I've worked for companies like that. But for every bad employer, there are many, many good ones. And for that, I have faith. I do hear of good stories of companies paying staff well, looking after them, introducing new schemes and benefits, and being fair and paying students on work experience. There is a claim that there is not much money in publishing, but I've been in this industry to know there is money within the industry and that you don't have to live on just a love of books to survive. This is why the Book Job Transparency campaign, started by Aki Schiltz of the Literary Consultancy, is so important and has gone a long way to help with this. It is something I said needed to be done many years ago, that every job advertisement needed to carry a salary figure or band. It is great to see that quite a number of publishers are advertising salaries or salary bands within their job advertisements, and this should help candidates make informed career decisions. Without this information, it's very hard to know whether you should jump ship or, if you're at the beginning of your career, whether the career choice of publishing is right for you. You can follow and participate in this campaign by following the hashtag BookJobTransparency across social media. This brings us to the interview question of the week. What is your current salary? It seems an innocuous question, but it is one of the biggest barriers to equality. It automatically assumes that what you've been paid in the past should be a benchmark to what you should be paid in the future. It also allows a future employee to gauge your skills and competences based on your pay, and also allows them to pay you as low as they possibly can and not pay you for those skills and competences. In other words, asking what your current salary is can be seen as a form of keeping salary inequality. This is why in Canada and in some states of America, including New York, the question of what is your current salary is now illegal. I notice in recent months it has disappeared from the online application processes of some, but not all, UK publishers. Yet one or two publishers who say they believe in inclusivity still ask future employees what their current salary is at application process time. For those publishers who have moved on, the question at interview is now, what are your salary expectations? And if you're applying online, you're often faced with a form that requires you to put in a salary range, which might seem a little fairer. But even so, some candidates feel intimidated as they want to be paid as much as possible, and by the same token, they want the job. From an interviewer's perspective, you want to know how much the candidate wants to be paid. One would hope that if you have fixed salary bands or grades, you would have mentioned this in your job advertisement. If your salaries are traditionally low, it does help rule out those who are well above your price bracket. The candidate may play this one of two ways. They might be open and say exactly what the salary is they're looking for, or they may press you to identify the salary you're offering. Either way, be fair and transparent with them and don't use their responses to pay the lowest possible common denominator. Remember, you want the person with the best skills and competencies for the job, and if this means going to the top end of your budget, then having the right person could save you money long term, as in theory, the right person will make fewer costly mistakes. From a candidate's perspective, you have two ways to play this. You might be straightforward and say exactly what you are looking for. If the job advertisement had a salary band and you were expecting the top end of that salary band, explain why. For example, I already have 5 years' experience, so I'll be expecting the top amount. However, if your future job involves negotiation, then do put in a little bit of those negotiation skills you are famed for. And you know, when you're negotiating, you should rarely give away figures, as you lose all your negotiation strengths. So a response such as, "What salary are you offering?" or "Can you give me an idea of the salary band for this job?" are perfectly acceptable answers. If the publisher comes back with a lowball figure and you are prepared to lose the job offer, don't be afraid to say, "I was expecting a little more," and explain why. What special skills or competences do you have? If you're the right candidate, usually publishers find a little extra money in the pot. Never bring up the salary question at an interview. Let the interviewer do it. It will often be one of the last questions, if at all. Yes, I know you want to know what salary is being offered, but let them make the decision to hire you first, then let them lead the discussion on pay. This episode is being recorded in February 2019 and will shortly be putting out a call for questions for the bookcareers.com salary survey 2020, which will go live next year. We want to reflect what publishing is up to on all levels, so please contribute. You'll find the details on the bookcareers.com website. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.